This is Matt Wells at UN News. The scale of Sri Lanka's child sex tourism industry has reached such worrying proportions that the authorities should take action immediately, UN-appointed independent rights experts said on Thursday, noting that some impoverished parents are being forced to sell their children. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, veteran member of the Committee on the Rights of the Child, Renata Winter, said that the scourge was very widespread, particularly in the north of the country. Ms. Winter also commented on the potential huge impact of the UN's budget crisis, which could see the committee, one of 10 human rights treaty bodies whose experts work on a voluntary basis, struggle to hold its next hearing with member states in September.
I do think, according to the traditions of the country, they think that rape is something that can happen only to girls, and girls have to be protected. But according to the development of sexual problems made to children, it turned out that quite a lot of boys are affected as well, and that there is a tendency in several countries, and Sri Lanka is one of them, where the sex tourism addresses boys first of all, and only then girls. And because the boys in this country are not protected by the law, we have to tell the country, please, you have to include boys in your protection system as well.
So you're saying that there is no legal definition of a sexual act on a boy? But there is for a girl.
Yes, that's it. And this is difficult because I do not want to say something that I do not know, but you could think about the fact that people know that boys are not protected in the country and therefore they come to the country to misuse boys.
So we can be perhaps hopeful that the State Party will act on your recommendations, but this isn't a new problem, is it? But maybe you could tell me how widespread the problem is. It's more in the north of the country, perhaps. How long has it been going on? And what specifically do you want from the country in addition to the legal changes to the constitution?
How long it's going on in this, at that amount, I do not know. I do know that in the north, the boys are more attractive for tourists than in the south. Why it is so, I do not know. But at the other hand, I can tell you what we want them to do, besides changing the legislation. What we want to do is, first of all, that they commit themselves to deal with hotels, with the tourism industry and so on, to prevent these things to happen, first of all. Because if you allow people to come to your country, and if you know that why they come, and you do not want them to come for such purposes, then you have to deal with it. And you have to deal with travel agencies, you have to deal with airports where you have announcements, you have to deal with hotels who take those children or even make advertisement that they have somebody. That is what we have to say in this regard. Please do a campaign in your country. Please assist families that are so poor that they have to sell their children.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. The report also highlights the really worrying finding that families are encouraging their children to go into the sex trade. So this really comes down to poverty and what is the country expected to do to help those who are excluded and marginalized in society?
Yeah, that will be the programs to assist very poor families, and especially those families that are under the minimum income that is necessary for raising children. So, first of all, help the family. Second, make sure that your children go to school and do not roam around. And third, do something for very small children who are not yet going to school and still are misused already.
And last question to you, how much is the government keeping up with the digital world and information communication technology? Is there a sense that it has the capacity to cope with the evident demand for sexual abuse of young children?
I would not say that Sri Lanka is known as being super sport in technology. That is a problem, especially cyber attacks, cyber bullying, cyber information about availability of children and so on. I do not think that they are up to where they should be in order to prevent that. But it would at least be good if they would accept the assistance of the cyber police that we have already in France, in Paris. Cyber police who could assist the country to develop a little more in the protection part of the internet, for instance.
And can you tell me how widespread the problem actually is, this of child sexual abuse?
I cannot give you numbers, I cannot give you percentage, but I can tell you it's very widespread. It's one of those countries where it's really widespread because parents are assisting the problem because they are so poor that they have nothing else to sell.
Finally, maybe we could just turn to the budget issue that everyone's talking about. As the Committee on the Rights of the Child, you're due to meet again in September, but how much could these budget restrictions that we're hearing about affect your meetings, which are supposed to happen three times a year?
Well, they might affect us very heavily, because we are the next one in the row to have a meeting in September. And if we do not have it, then six countries and six other countries that we have to preview will not be monitored. And that will have a huge impact. And not only for this time, because we have been told that it is because of a money issue. But we also have been told that the money issue next year is not going to be better. So what will be then the consequence? The money should come from our regular budget. If this is not the case, and maybe some member states come and say, okay, we are going to bring you now the money for this session, who assists us then when some other member states come and say, they are now on the payroll of this and this and this member state? So if there would be so-called private assistance or assistance from some good-willing friends of the different committees, you know, justice has not only to be done, it has to be seen to be done. And what will then be seen? Then we will always have the possibility that somebody comes and says, yes, you have said something bad about that state because another member state has paid for it. That would be a really terrible situation.
To what extent are you already implementing reforms and cost-cutting measures?
I would say to a huge amount. We try to be as effective as possible.
Just explain how many you are in your committee.
We are 18 in our committee. We are working pro bono. I do not know if people know that. We are working pro bono, all 18 of us. And all the other members of all the other treaty bodies are working pro bono. Again, so for us, it's not an issue to say, okay, not only two times we come, three times we come and work pro bono, because we really are devoted to our job. But it will be, as I said before, it will be a huge issue if we would not try to be as effective as possible, and we really are trying. For instance, if we have done something, we are going to send the information to another treaty body so that there is no duplication. And these issues will be strengthened and will be discussed next time when the treaty body bosses, the treaty body presidents are meeting each other to find out where else we can have a collaboration. Several of the general comments are made together with another treaty body. As I said, we are trying to give information and get information from other treaty bodies. We try to explain to member states, please give us an information about your country that you can use for all the other treaty bodies as well.
Are we really at a critical juncture?
We are really at a critical juncture, yes. And it looks like, and I do not want to be pessimist and end at the pessimistic note, but it would look as if member states say the time for human rights, dear treaty bodies, is over.